Amen. And a lot of good music tonight. I appreciate that. Appreciate all the hard work. I was thinking, wow, Keziah was playing the offertory, and a beautiful, beautiful song, and I've heard it several times. And, of course, it received a command performance. But I was thinking that Allie is playing the piano with her. And I don't know anything about pianos or anything, but it seems like a very difficult piece, and she's had to practice and work hard and everything, and somebody sings, and Jackie is playing the piano, and you know, there's just a lot that goes into somebody singing a song or being a blessing, and I praise the Lord for that, and I hope we don't take it for granted. I hope we're always thankful for those who are involved in music program of our church and the work they put in, the practice time they put into. It's very, very such a blessing, adds to the service. The orchestra here, just that blesses my heart every time. And if you have talent and you're playing, I appreciate it. It is certainly a blessing to me. And I hope others let you know that. 1 Samuel chapter 9, 1 Samuel 9 and verse 25. Two words tonight is the title of the message. Very simply, be still. Be still. 1 Samuel 9. Verse 25, and when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. And then Psalm 46, if you'll turn there real quick, and we'll go back and forth between these. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And again, he says, be still and know. How will you know he's God? Well, you're just going to have to be still. Be still. Saul says, well, how am I going to know what to do? And how am I going to know what I'm supposed to do? And all these things. Just Samuel says, be still. Be still. I want to show you the word of God. Be still. Be still. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today, and I ask for your guidance tonight in the service. Thank you for the beautiful music, and certainly it's prepared my heart for the message, and I pray it's prepared everyone's heart that we might listen and we might let you speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I've often thought this thought, that I am one of the most unlikely people to be a pastor, and It's very funny as I think about this. In fact, my wife and I, we were just talking about this because we were down where there were lots and lots of people down in Orlando, and just people everywhere, and in areas where we were crowded with lots of people, and it just reminded me how much I really don't like people. Now, that's obviously a problem when you're a pastor, and but I've just not liked crowds, and yet I've spent my life trying to build big crowds, and so it's one of those weird things. And we laugh about some of the things. I there's just things that irritate me. Stupidity typically irritates me, and people doing things that we do, you know, and we're all guilty. And I'm sure I've irritated one or two people, but thank you, Dave. But I, you know, one of the examples that we're on an escalator, and you got to understand, there's people everywhere. By the way, if there's a recession, they don't know it down in Florida. They don't have a clue, but because money's flying everywhere. But anyway, we're on an escalator going up. All right, here's a good example of things that just really irritate me. We're going up on this escalator, and it's people everywhere. I mean, you have to understand, there's this line of people behind us, and every step as the escalator is going up, somebody's getting on that next step. And it's a line. I mean, it's a line going all the way probably to Texas. It wouldn't shock me. I mean, it was just people everywhere. And so in front of me is a person. Behind me are people. And more people are getting on. And we're going up. And it's just so it's a line of people. All right? And so there's this guy in front of me, and we're there, and my wife and I are next to each other holding hands, which we did all the way. Thank you. And she's the one people that I do like to be around. But anyway, we're holding hands, and, you know, everything's going great. And so we're getting close to the top, and the guy gets to the top, and he takes his step off, and we're next, and he stopped. Okay, you can't stop at the top of an escalator when it's like, that's what's going to happen. We're all going to collide right there. And I just, my wife could tell, she grabbed my arm like, don't say anything. I didn't say anything, but I wanted to say something. So I just wanted to tell that, are you nuts or what? She said, well, honey, he didn't know which way he was going. You got to move. But anyway, I just, you know, it just, it bothered. And I've often thought, God, why am I around people? I could easily be alone. I could find Gilligan's Island. It's appealing to me as long as my wife's there. And none of the Gilligan and all them aren't. But, I mean, that kind of thing, honestly, it just, I could do that. I really think I could do that. And in wrestling with God over, you know, the fact that I know I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be a pastor. I know that and I love you and don't get me wrong. It's just my nature is I like to be alone. And I had to stop years ago and think about, okay, so why? What is it about, you know, why is it my nature? Just, you know, my wife wants to be around people. She just loves people. She's a people person and enjoys it and all that. And so, God, why am I? But it was 3 o'clock in the morning one time, and I'm talking to God, and I'm enjoying the fact that it's quiet. And I thought about the fact that, you know, a pastor needs to love people, yes, and needs to love being around people, yes, and that's a good thing. But a pastor also needs to learn how to be still. And he has to have that still time, that time to be alone with God. And you and I, we need to have a time where we're still. We have to be. By the way, do you know what most of my counseling is? It's listening. Honestly, most, you know, people, I've had people come in and literally speak the whole time. I've said, And then they say, wow, I feel so much better. You have really helped me. Thank you so much. My whole life's changed. And they walk out and they tell people I'm a great counselor. I just listen. Be still, God says. You've heard someone say before, I've said it before, God gave you two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. Be still. And here, Samuel is about to anoint Saul king, and you know, Saul's whole life is about to change, and Samuel says, okay, tell the servant to go on. We don't want a crowd here. Listen, I've got something to tell you. He says, stand still a while that I may show thee the word of God. I have something to show you. I have something to teach you, and you're going to have to be still to get it. You're going to have to be still. And you need to understand, folks, that twice as much as we talk, we should be still. Twice as long. You say, I've got quite a prayer life with God. Have you ever stopped to listen to what God has to say? Have you ever stopped to just be still and know that He's God? And so I've kind of divided the message into two parts, and one of those is being still with other people. Being still with other people. And again, understand, you have two ears, one mouth, listen twice as much as you speak. I appreciate Brother Collins. He brought me my verse for today, and it's so good. One of the verses he brought, he actually brought me two because I was gone last week, Ecclesiastes 10:14. It says, a fool also is full of words. Boy, what a good, good verse that is. And how it ties, I told him, I said, man, that ties right into my message. What a blessing. And, you know, we need to learn to be still. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it says, study to be quiet. Yeah, study. Figure out a way that you can shut your mouth. Because there's something you might be able to learn. And be still with other people. There, you know what amazed me? I've thought about what all we could learn if we just listened to folks around. I'm not talking about listening to gossip. I'm talking about listening to people and asking questions and letting them talk. And then in our men's prayer time, this thing came up and I thought, wow, we sure are lucky that that came up. No, there is no such thing as luck. But I thought, you know, it's just so the way God is. To lay something on my heart and to lay it on other people's hearts at the same time, like in our men's prayer group. And the idea of being able to listen to what somebody has to give. You know, a lot of you probably don't even know Bob Hill that well. You know, you've never sat down, you never talked to him. And Brother Letson was giving a testimony and just talking about what a blessing it was to be able to talk to Bob. And he talked to him in the hospital and just listened to some of his wisdom and some of the things he had to say and how over the years he's been able to do that. But again, if you don't listen, you miss out on those things. Well, I'm just too busy. But you know what? You could probably learn something from him. There's folks all over this room. You could probably learn something from if you just, you know, some of you teenagers, if you'd shut your mouth and just go listen to some of the older folks talk, it could change your life. I mean, literally, they could teach you some things. They could help you. You know, one of the best junior senior banquets we ever had, Chuck Pearson came and spoke and he just talked. And I watched these young people, you know, young people that the world says, there's a generation gap and everything. And he just spoke. He just talked. I don't remember him having a fancy outline or anything. He just talked. And he talked about the old days and he talked about things he knows. And those young people sat and they listened. And I know some of them were thinking, that helps me. That's stuff I can use. You know, if you'd stop, young person, and you'd look around this church, you'd find people, if you just quit talking and listen to them, you'd be amazed what you could learn. You'd be amazed how many steps in your life you could take in growth, in maturity, in whatever you're going to do with your life, if you just be still and listen to some of the folks in our church. I was excited. Jim Brimmer, he's a very, very smart man. And you say, well, you know, he's out there growing crops and he's got vegetables. This man, he's a very, very intelligent man. And I was excited. I think it was David Potter was talking to me. Said, man, I went to bed last night at 7:00. I said, really? What? Why'd you go to bed at 7? He said, I worked at Bremer's. I said, now I know why you went to bed at 7. But you know, that's smart. By the way, Brother Brimmer, I think he'll be a good worker for you. I think David is a good worker, and he's a hard worker. You know, we talk about that all the time. There's so many kids, they just don't know how to work. They're not interested in work. But if you listen to a guy like that. You listen to somebody who knows how to work, and how to work hard, and had to work, and has to work. I'll tell you what, if you be still, well, I got it all figured out. You know, I'm a sophomore. I got everything. And you're a sophomore. You don't have anything figured out yet. You've got a lot to learn, and you better listen to some of the folks that are right here. We have some of the, honestly, I'm not purposely selecting some and leaving out any, but it's just people I think about. Dan Pfeiffer is a very, very wise man. And you know, we came close to losing Dan. And I thought, you know, Dan has helped more young people, and they didn't know he was helping them. They thought he was helping them with their job situation. But Dan was helping them with their walk with God. And Dan was helping them to learn how to pray to make it in life. Dan was helping them to learn how to get to know God. And that was always his goal. I know, because I know Dan, he would pray, God, send me a young person to work, not so much that can do the work, but that I can help. Why wouldn't you stop and just spend some time with Dan Pfeiffer? You say, well, I'm going to be a builder. I'm going to be a contractor. Why wouldn't you talk to Dave Rincon? Why wouldn't you spend some time with Ed Engel? Why wouldn't you talk to Frank LaVoie? I'm just saying, here's these men. They're here. They're in our church. But you know, we just don't want to listen. You say, you know, I'm going to go off to college. Do you understand? Something maybe even better than college is right in this room. I'm not telling you not to go to college. I'm just saying, why wouldn't you just go to some of these folks and spend some time with? I look back at Willard Noble back there. I don't know of anybody in this church any smarter than Willard Noble. You ever just stop and talk to him? Now, he tells a lot of bad jokes too, but Maybe that's why you don't. But why wouldn't you just sit down and just let him tell you some things? You want to know about politics? You want to know what's going on in our world? Right here is Glenn Herndon. I mean, this guy, he knows this stuff. Why wouldn't you? You say, I'm not doing very well in my government class. You know, Brother Chase, he really likes all this stuff, and I don't like it as well. Go spend a lot. I promise you this. If you said to Glenn Herndon, listen, I'd stay after if you'd just talk to me a little bit about some of the things that are going on, he'd do it. He'd love it. He loves to talk about it. Willard Noble, he knows all these things too. I'm not bragging on, I'm just saying, but what it takes is you have to be still. You have to be still. I don't know of anybody more wise in our church than Matt Binder. Now, he would, you know, he hates this. I know he does, but I can't see him, so it doesn't really matter what kind of face he's making. Listen to me. Why wouldn't you just say, would you talk to me? Hey, listen. You're a junior, you're a senior, and we've got seniors here that are really having, you know, what am I going to do with my life? Why wouldn't you go to somebody like a Matt Binder and just say, could you help me out a little bit here? But you have to be still. You have to listen. And they can help you. Byron, how long have you taught Sunday school, Byron? Yeah, years and years and years. You know, why wouldn't you? You say, well, I'd like to teach Sunday school. So why wouldn't you go to Byron Fisher and just say, hey, what's the secret here? What's the key? Come on. I mean, there's folks here. You say, I'm going to Bible college. Okay, well, part of Bible college is sitting right back there. I mean, there's Bible college, and then there's Bible college. These folks are all here. Anybody with gray hair or no hair, they've got some things they could tell you. The no hairs could tell you how it goes. I guarantee. I'll tell you, somebody told me, and I hate to embarrass anybody. I kind of like it, but I don't want to do it on purpose. But somebody spent a little time with Perry Hobson. They said, man, I didn't know him. You should know him. He'll tell you some things. He'll help you out. He really will. He'll be a blessing to you. You know, here's a young couple, and they're trying to decide, you know, about children and everything. Why wouldn't you sit down and talk to the Ingalls? They know about children. Amen. Why wouldn't you, though? Seriously, why wouldn't we do that? I mean, honestly, we need to learn to be still so we can learn. That's exactly what Samuel's saying to Saul. Saul, I have something for you to learn. I have something that I want to tell you. I have something to teach you. And we need to, you know, slow ourselves down, take advantage of what is right here in this room. Be still to learn. Be still. You have a Sunday school teacher. Listen to them. Be still and learn what they have. Anytime you're in church and in chapel time and the teen, you know, the teens with Brother Dale Stewart, I don't know of a man who is more consumed with your life, teenager, with your life turning out right than that man right there. If I like the way he... Yeah, I understand that, but I tell you what, you don't have anyone crying for you any more than he is. He is so for you. Why wouldn't you sit and listen to him? Well, like what he said. Yeah, but listen to me. He cares about you. You'll watch some idiot on television for hours tell off-color jokes or whatever it is, and that person doesn't care about you, but there's somebody that does care about you. Why wouldn't you sit and just be still enough to let something sink in? And if nothing else does, you can at least walk away saying, I know somebody loves me. I know someone cares. Yeah, we need to be still to learn. Be still to learn. Here it's learning the Word of God. Be still. Be still to learn what God has. All these people around that could teach you. Be still to learn from them. I'm not talking about gossip. You can't learn from gossip. I'm talking about the positive things. By the way, be still if all you have to say is negative. Don't talk. If all you've got is negative, then just don't say anything. That's the best thing. Well, I found out that, but you just be still. Nobody needs it. It ain't going to help anybody. You're not going to be able to admonish the brethren with your garbage. You know, if all you know and everything you know is negative, then just be still and listen to somebody positive, and then pretty soon you'll have something positive too. Do you know how many positive, there are so many positive people here in the church? You say, well, you know, everybody I go to is, yeah, that's your problem. There are folks all over this room. You know, I ask Larry Tyson every sir, I say, how you doing, Larry? Terrific! I think that's a pretty positive thing. Amen. You know, there's folks all around here that could tell you some very good things, very positive. Phyllis White's excited. Are you excited? She's excited. And you know something, you'll see her take her little hanky and wave it, and you say, what's wrong with her? I'd find out if I were you. I'm sorry, find out what's wrong with her. Go ask her. Hey, Phyllis, what's wrong with you? I am excited. That's what's wrong with me. Find out what's wrong with Kayla when she gets excited and says, amen to the Victory in Jesus song. What's wrong with you, girl? I'm excited. Oh, wow. I didn't know you could be about the things of God. Well, you got a lot to learn, but you're going to have to be still to learn. And you're going to have to be still if everything you have to say is negative. Look at Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, 14. Several verses to look at here. Psalms 19, verse 14. Be still, be still. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, that's the thing. If everything you have to say is something is negative, it's bad, it's a rumor, it's gossip, if that's all you know, then just be still. Just be still. Be still, because you want your words to be acceptable in God's sight. Look at 1 John 2, verse 10. 1 John 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none, watch this, there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That's the person that loves his brother. He'll never, never try to get his brother to stumble. Never. He'll never do it. He'll be uplifting. He'll want him to succeed. He would never try to cause him to stumble. No occasion. Never. Not if he loves his brother. You say, yeah, people just constantly, they come to me and they tell me negative stuff and they tell me bad stuff and they don't love you. They don't love you. I wish you'd get that. Okay? Somebody that loves you, they won't try to cause you to stumble. They will try to help you walk and live the kind of life. Again, if all you have to say is bad, then just be still. Be still to learn. Be still if all you have to say is bad. Be still if you're not asked. That's one of the hardest things for me. It's really tough being a pastor. And you know, I've got an opinion on everything. Somebody asked me, well, do you have an opinion on that? And it's like, I've got five of them. But you haven't asked. And that's my policy. I try not to give advice unless I am asked. And, you know, again, I want them to know what I think. I wanted that guy to know what I thought on that escalator. And many times when I'm driving, I really want people to know what I think. And my wife says, honey, they don't hear you, but I do. It's not that funny, Phyllis. Just be, if you're not asked, learn, be still. You know how much trouble we get into interjecting our opinion? Yeah, we get in a lot of trouble there. If they don't ask, listen to me. If it's, you know, just avoid it. Again, if it's not your business, that's another one. You know, just be still. If it's not your business, if you're not a part of the problem or the solution, then just be still. Amen. Amen. Be still if you're the kind of person that talking gets you into trouble. Be still. You know, there's folks like that. They just, you know, you just, talking tends to get, you're the one that says, you know, it just seems like every time I say something, I put my foot in my mouth. Okay, then be still. Learn how to be still. It'll keep you out of trouble. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Again, we don't want to be in trouble. We want to please God. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. We certainly don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody. Proverbs 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Learn how to control this thing called a mouth. Proverbs 17 and verse 28. Proverbs 17, 28. And the Bible says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Learn how to keep your mouth shut. And especially when you are one that you just get yourself in a lot of trouble. By the way, husbands, that would be you. There are times. Wives, that would be you. There are times. It's just best, be still. Be still. Be still if it's not your place to speak. Be still. Don't answer for the pastor. Don't answer for somebody else. Don't take up somebody else's offense. Bless God, I'll tell them. If it's not your business, just be still. Stay away from it. Don't go near it. Just be still. Be still if you're angry. There's a great principle right there. You're angry, be still. Proverbs 25, verse 8. Look at it. Proverbs 25 and verse 8. So you're mad and boy, I'm going to let them know what I think. Okay, not a good time. That's why it's good to have a good wife who can just grab your hand and squeeze it to let you know this isn't the time or the place. You're not going to accomplish anything. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. There is a right way and a right time to speak. And if you're angry, that's not the time. By the way, disciplining your children out of anger, you're not teaching them anything. Well, you are teaching them something, but it's not what you want them to learn. Right? Just learn how to walk away, be still, and wait. Be still when you don't know what to say. I'm so frustrated with Christianity who, you know, somebody asks us a tough question and we're not willing to say, well, I'll get back to you. We wing it. That's never the thing. Just be still. Just say, look, I'll get back to you. I don't know the answer right now, but I'll get it. I don't know how many times I say those words. Now, you know, it's an embarrassment. It can be an embarrassment. Somebody will ask me a Bible question. Well, Pastor, do you know what this is? And if I don't know, there have been times I've tried to wing it and got myself in trouble. Winging it is not that's not the way to learn how to be still. Don't answer the question wrong. Don't ramble. Don't look foolish. Be still. Be still with others. I look around and I think all the talking that goes on, and I wonder how much of that ought to be listening. Because there's so much we can gain, so much we can learn. Be still with other people. Then, number two, be still with God. Be still with God. Boy, I know we're supposed to pray, and I understand that, but there is a time we're supposed to listen. And just be still and let Him speak to us. Let Him speak to our hearts. I think there's a lot of Christians. I think there's a lot of young people. You don't know what that is. You really don't. Why'd you go forward? Well, I thought it was a good idea. Well, others went forward. Now listen to me. God speaks to our hearts. But you have to be still. That's why, you know, if you're texting during church, you're not going to hear God's voice. If you're talking to the person next to you, you're not going to hear what God has for you. We don't say, as adults and as a pastor, I don't say, hey, listen to me now, just because I want you to hear my voice. It's I want you to hear Him. Because we give an invitation. We still do. Amen. And the invitation is all about God has spoken to my heart. I'm amazed how flippant we are with our invitations. Because we're really not listening. You know what we're doing? We're hoping to get things over by the time our show is on. We're hoping to get things over so the restaurant doesn't close. We're hoping to get things over with so we can go have that great fellowship with other people. And our God wants us to get to know Him. Be still and know that I am God. That's why we don't want you reading the songbooks during the service. We want you listening and mostly opening your heart to let God speak to you. We need to know Him for guidance. I don't know which way to go without Him. I don't even want to walk without Him. We need to be still and know Him for wisdom. I mean, in these days, folks, things are really getting exciting in our day. I need His wisdom. You need His wisdom. We need to know Him for fellowship so that we know we're not alone. Never alone. Never alone. Beautiful song that we sing. We need to know Him for joy, as I preached about this morning. Joy. You ever had joy at 2 o'clock in the morning? Oh, preacher, 2 o'clock in the morning, man, I'm about to die. But what if you're awake? Blink. I'm awake. Yeah? So what if you are awake? Have you ever thought that there's a reason you're awake? You ever thought that maybe God woke you up? I just don't know why I woke up at 2 in the morning. You ever prayed at 2 o'clock in the morning for someone? And have you ever just stopped and listened? Some of the most precious times of my life have been those quiet times when I'm just still and I listen to His still, small voice. And He fills my heart with joy and peace. Be still for humility. You know, you can hang around enough people that you can feel very content that you're the better Christian among them. Do you know that? I mean, you can be around enough people, get around enough folks, and find the select group of folks whereby you can walk away and say, you know what, I'm the best Christian in that little group. But when you're still with God, you come away knowing for sure you got a long way to go. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, those are some of the times when I realize just how far I have to go. Be still for strength. Be still for answers to the questions that you have. Exodus 14, verse 13. I'm just about done. Exodus 14 and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." I mean, you talk about a problem. You talk about having to deal with a pain. You talk about a thorn in the flesh. I mean, you know, the Egyptians, these Egyptians sure are a pain. God's okay, Moses, just tell the people, stand still and watch. Because you're not going to see them again, because they're going to drown. Boy, what a blessing. What a blessing. But it takes us standing still, being still, and waiting on God. You know, well, I'm busy. I'm trying to do. Yeah, and we need to be. But there has to be a time. There has to be a time. I love my wife and I. We love to walk, and we walk all around here. But like when she's gone, I'll still walk. And I like to go over by the pond over here, and I like to just sit. And I'll just sit and I'll just look, and I'm just being still. God speak to me. God, show me something. God, teach me. God, comfort me. Yeah, have you ever thought, you know, how's God going to comfort you if you'd never stand still? Remember when you were little and you had a boo-boo, and here comes Mom, and she says, "Oh, let me hug and kiss the boo-boo," you know? And you ran from her. Well, that was stupid, right? Yeah, you don't get that hug, and you don't get that comfort that you need from Mama. Have you ever thought that maybe you just need God to hug you and comfort you and love you, but you won't be still? Be still. Be still. Job 37, verse 14. Job 37, verse 14. Precious verse. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Come on, now seriously, things are going bad. Things are really bad. Have you ever just gone outside and just looked up at the stars? Consider, when I consider the works of thy hands, the sun, the moon, the stars. You ever just looked up at the stars? Realized just how big God is? I remember, I know for hours I've stared at stars and just realized how big my God is. And all of a sudden, you know, it's amazing if you just be still and do that, how teeny, eensy, weensy your problems are. If you just stop and put it into perspective of how big God is. Right? All right, preacher, I'm ready. I'm ready to be still. I'm going to be still with people. I'm going to start listening. I'm going to listen in class. I'm going to listen in school. I'm going to listen in church. I'm going to listen to some of the folks around this place and some of the men and some of the ladies that have been around a while and they know some. I'm going to do all that. And I really do. I want to be still to know God. But so what do I do? Look at Psalm 4, verse 4. Psalms 4 and verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. What do I do? First of all, think and talk about Him. Think and talk about Him. Be still and just hallowed be thy name. Brag on God and then just stop and listen. God, you're so great. You're so big. You look out at the ocean. You look out at a lake. You look out at a river. You look out at the trees. You look out wherever it is. You look at the stars. I mean, I've walked around this property and just looked around and walked around and just, I'm in awe at what God does. Have you ever thought about the miracle of this church being here? I mean, all the things, there's so much. Every pew that is here, it's absolutely a miracle. You can walk around here. You can walk around your property. You can walk around the land around you, the neighborhoods. You can see the tree. You just look around and you say, God, you are so great. You're so wonderful. You've done so many great things. And you just think about how great God is and you tell Him how great He is. And then you praise Him. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You just can't help it. I don't know how many times I remember when I was a new Christian, really, and off in Bible college, and we'd go visit my mom, and she lived on a little lake out there. And I remember late at night, I'd go sit on the pier, and I'd look out at the stars over that lake, and I'd recognize the greatness of my God. And I'd stop, and I'd sing. I'd just start singing songs to the Lord. By the way, that's why it's good to know good Christian songs, where you can praise Him for what He's done. And I'd just stop and I'd sing and I'd sing the love of God. You know, and I'd look up at the sky. If we would think the ocean fill. And I'd think that you can't even, you could not stretch the parchment across the sky and write the love of God. It's not possible. And boy, you know what I'm doing? I'm stopping then. And I'm listening. You thank Him for all that He's done. Think and thank. Think and thank. Think and thank. Think and thank. Mark said something today that just was such a blessing in our men's prayer time. And I don't know if he even meant it to be a blessing. He was just talking, giving a testimony. But he talked about having all these problems and things and with a vehicle. And all of a sudden, you know, he couldn't figure it out. And he remembered something his dad said. As soon as you said that, Mark, it hit me. How many times I remember something my dad said. And all of a sudden, it's like he's there again. And I miss my dad. And I miss my mom. But all of a sudden, and how did that happen? How did, all of a sudden, it was like they were there again. How'd that happen? Oh, that was my God did that. My God did that because I was being still. Oh, yeah, I was in a mess when I thought about what my dad said. And I was in a little bit of a quandary when I stopped to think about it. And you know what? If that's what it takes to get me to be still, to listen, I'll take the blessing. I'll take the blessing. And we need to read our Bible till it burns. And we need to pray. And we need to be still and listen. People come and, Pastor, I've got a problem. And, well, did you talk to God about it? Yeah, I prayed. Now, what do you think? I've got some really, really important news for you. What I think is not even the slightest minute, not even a drop in the bucket compared to what He can do. Did you talk to God? Did you talk to God? Did you listen to God? Were you still with God? He wants you to know Him. Dale Bowman, you walked right into the message, you know, tonight when you gave your testimony. Dale said, I realized before pastor school I really wanted to know God. And then the van broke down. And then it really broke. And then we had problems at pastor school. God, why would you do this? And then we were coming home. We had to come home early because we ran out of money. And boy, that doesn't make sense either. But we were coming home and then the engine blew. And we had 150 miles to go. And I'm thinking, and it started. He didn't know it was blown then, did you? But you were told later it was blown. That was the problem. And he drove 150 miles with a blown motor, which you can't do. But I, in my mind, I saw you and Debbie, and I saw you saying, God, you got us another mile. That's pretty good. And what are we going to do this next mile, God? And God said, I'll show you. You know, and about the time Dale thought he had it all figured out, well, this is going to be easy. You know, well, God, now wait a minute. Wait a second. You know, we got to keep, you ever prayed your motor to keep going 150 miles? I figure if you talk to somebody 150 miles worth of keeping the motor going, you probably get to know them pretty well. Be still. Christian folks, honestly, it might be the thing that will change your life more than anything else. Be still with people. Listen to what they have to say. Listen to what is available to you. And be still to know your God. He wants you to know Him. And in these days, and even if things are great, we need to know Him. We really do. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's talking, no one's looking around. I wonder if there's someone tonight who'd say, Preacher, God.